We turn in God's Word tonight to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. We don't read in Matthew 28 of the ascension of Jesus Christ. There's not the history of that in this passage. Instead, we read in this passage of the resurrection of Christ. But also we're going to look at words that our Lord Jesus Christ spoke to his disciples and therefore to the church before he ascended into heaven about his rule after he ascended. So that's verse 18, the text for tonight, but we're going to read the entirety of the chapter, Matthew 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail! And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And thus far we read God's Word. As I said, the text is verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Pray. Father in heaven, open our eyes tonight to see the power and authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. We desire that we would have the eyes of faith to see Jesus clearly in all of his glory, but also in all of his power, so that our hearts would be comforted, so that we would be strengthened to obey him, so that thy name would be exalted and praised. So give us understanding tonight. To that end, grant strength to thy servant who brings this word and give him clarity of mind and speech. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew 28, as I said, we do read of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. After Jesus arose from the dead, he appeared to the women who came to the tomb, and he told those women to go to the disciples and to tell them that he would see them, he would meet them in Galilee. Now, that's the setting of the text that we consider tonight. And so the disciples go to Galilee. Jesus meets them in Galilee and he speaks to them. Now, when Jesus meets the disciples in Galilee, as we read of that in verses 16 through 20, we don't know exactly when that took place. If it was very soon after this, or if it was more towards the end of the 40 days in between Jesus' resurrection and ascension. Many commentators believe that this happened towards the end of that 40 days, close to the time when Jesus ascended into heaven. We read there that when the disciples saw Jesus, they fell down and they worshiped him. And then there was some doubt on their part, and now this is what Jesus says to them. But before we look at the text, there's another part of the context that's very important, and it's the verses following the text that we consider tonight. In the verses following the text, we have what is known as the Great Commission. And what this means, this Great Commission, is that this is the mission that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the church. So in these verses, Jesus Christ comes to the church and he says, this is what you are to be doing until the time of my return. You're to teach the gospel, you're to baptize, you're to make disciples among the nations. And that's really the idea there of the Great Commission, teaching all nations. It's make disciples. And so that's what we do in the line of generations. We teach and instruct and preach. But also we do that in the mission field. And we do that among the nations of the world, all for the gathering of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what we take notice of is that before the Great Commission comes this text that we consider tonight. And this text is about the rule of Jesus Christ as our ascended Lord. Jesus is speaking of what he would soon have, the power that he would soon have. So tonight, this is what we look at. It's very narrow, really. We're looking at what it means to confess that Jesus Christ reigns today, or Jesus Christ rules. We say that. We remind ourselves of that often, especially with all that's going on around us. We want to remember Jesus Christ rules. Well, what exactly is this rule? That's what we look at for a few moments tonight. We do so under this theme, the ascended Christ's authority. We notice first the meaning of that, secondly the scope, what does that authority cover, and then finally the response. How do we as the people of God respond to that? There's a reason why in the theme of the sermon I use the word authority and not power. Now the word power isn't a wrong word here in the text. But we should see and understand that there are different ways in which we speak of power. There is the power which is might or strength. But there's also the power of authority, which is not like the power of a man who's so strong he could lift a car. Or it's not like the strength of a man who can bench press 300 plus pounds. We're not talking about that kind of power. Now, Jesus Christ has great power or might because he is the Son of God. I don't mean in any way to detract from that tonight. He has great power, and even in his ministry, you see that power. His power to heal. His power to cast out devils. His power to raise from the dead. Part of that is that there's great power and might and strength that is part of that. And we know God is Almighty God. And Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, he is Almighty. But that's not the focus of this word here in the text. The focus of the word is the power of authority. And so you may have in this world someone who really is very weak physically, yet they have great power. There might be a king or the president of a nation who isn't much. Maybe he's an older man and he's weak and feeble. We've had presidents in our own land who are wheelchair bound. They were weak physically, yet they had great power because they had authority. It may be that a mother in the home, she's not stronger than her teenage son, yet she has power, the power of authority. And so that's the distinction we want to see and understand. This word here in the text is about the power or the authority and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what this authority of power is. It's the right to give orders, the right to make decisions, and the right to expect and enforce obedience. So giving orders, making decisions, and enforcing obedience. That's the authority that our Lord Jesus Christ now has. You and I understand what it is to make orders. If I would have said something to you a half a year ago about executive orders, I would have had to explain that to you. But now we're very familiar with executive orders and executive powers. A president of the United States will make executive orders. A governor will make executive orders. And that's what we're talking about here. Orders that are followed and the authority then to enforce obedience to those orders. We know that in our homes, kids, you know that. Mom and dad are given that authority in the home. So it's a very small sphere, but it's right there in the home. They give orders, they make decisions, they have the right to do that, and the right as well to enforce obedience. So we see that on the earth as God puts certain ones in positions of authority. Now we look at Jesus Christ and understand that He has this kind of authority. And we'll look in a moment at the fact that He is this authority over all things in heaven and on earth. Christ possesses this authority to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience. This is the authority that comes from God. Just think about that for a moment. Think about that authority of Jesus Christ. It was seen in His ministry. So even though I spoke of His power, His ability to calm storms, yet there's authority that's part of it. So that, as it were, wind and waves obey Him. Or you think of demons or devils that He cast out. Yes, He had the power to do it. But we see and understand in those instances as well that they obeyed what Jesus Christ told them to do. So you see a little bit of that in His ministry. But now you see it as He's ruling in heaven over all things. He has this authority. So He says, for example, coronavirus. You start in Wuhan. You start in China. And you go here and you go there, but not there and not in that person. That's the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ giving orders even to illnesses and diseases and to people and governments and rulers and everything else in this world. This is the powerful authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. We remember that as we consider the ascension of our Savior, because when Jesus Christ descended into heaven, this was the authority that was conferred upon Him. This is the authority that God gave to Him. And that's the idea of His being seated at God's right hand. We read of that in many passages of Scripture. Ephesians 1, verse 20, 1 Peter 3, verse 22, and others as well. But we understand and remember that his being seated at God's right hand is not an actual physical throne. It's a picture for us to understand his rule. And that picture points us to exactly what we are considering here tonight. Yes, his being seated at God's right hand points out the honor that is his. That's quite an honorable position to be at God's right hand. Not quite an honorable, it's the most honorable position. But along with that, we see and understand that that throne, that place at God's right hand, indicates a position of authority. In ancient times, the seat at the right hand of a king was a position of power and authority. This person at the right hand of the king was entrusted with rule, so that he was entrusted with executing the will of the king. And he had the authority to do that as if it was the word of the king himself. As we see in Jesus Christ, God has given Jesus Christ this authority to execute his will, his plan, which is perfect and right, in everything that happens in the entire world. And Scripture speaks of that in so many places. I point that out in a few passages. Revelation 12, verse 10. We read there, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power, the authority of his Christ." Revelation 12, in vision form, gives to us a peek into heaven when Jesus Christ ascended. So Acts 1 tells us what happened on this earth when he ascended and his disciples were there. Revelation 12 gives us a peek into heaven, what happened there when Jesus entered into heavenly glory. And this is part of that song of praise. And it says that he was given power, authority. Jesus speaks of this authority in John 17, verse 2, his high priestly prayer. Jesus says there, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Power over all flesh. Again, the same word we have in the text. Authority over all flesh. And then also in Revelation 5, you don't find the word there, but you find the concept. The opening of the seals. Seven seals that are opened. Who opens those seals? Jesus Christ. The exalted Christ. He is able to do that because he's been given the authority and the power to do this. So all of this points out this authority of Christ. Along with that, we take notice of this in the text. Jesus says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now that wording is a bit surprising. And it's even more surprising when you translate it a bit more literally this way, "has been given." I say that's surprising. It's surprising because Jesus Christ, when he spoke these words, had not yet ascended into heaven. But in the speaking of his exalted position, the power that he has, he makes reference to the past. Has been given. And we wonder, why does he speak of that in the past? Isn't that future for him? That it will be given when I ascend into heaven in just a few days or whenever it was from the time that he spoke these words. So we see there's something to take notice of here. Why does Jesus speak of it in this way? Well, understand, Jesus is not making the point, well, I am, after all, the Son of God, and that's why we can talk of it in the past. No, that's not the point of Jesus here. Nor is Jesus saying that he had already been conferred with all of this authority. I pointed out a few moments ago, you see it in his ministry. He had a beginning of it in his ministry, but not like he speaks of it here in the text. Oh, he did exercise power, authority over sickness and leprosy and hunger and devils and wind and waves and human hearts and even death. But it wasn't over all things yet. But we see and understand that our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking of this in the past because his rule to come is built on the reality of what he did in the past. Or another way to put it, he would be exalted in heavenly glory only because he suffered and died and accomplished the will of his Father. He received this exalted position, and that's the idea of the text, something in the past with a resultant state. The resultant state is now he has the right to this position of authority, and he will have that position of authority in heaven. But it's based on the past. It's based on his death on the cross. It's based on the fact that he finished the work that God gave him to do. Philippians 2, 9 and 10 speaks of that. Speaks of his exaltation because of his humiliation. Revelation 5 and 12 make that clear as well. He came to this earth as the sin bearer to satisfy God's justice and to satisfy for all of our sins. And because he did that, he is given an exalted position. And so now we see and remember, when we talk about the rule of Christ, not only do we mean his power to do what God calls him to do. Yes, he has power, but we're talking here about the authority, the right that he has to make decisions, to give orders, and to enforce obedience as well. So that's what we learn about this rule of Christ. He has this authority. But also what's striking here in the text, and there are not many words in the text, but it was all very striking to me as I began studying it and looking at it. Because now you consider this authority of Christ in contrast to other authorities. Moms and dads, you have authority, but it's limited. It's authority that's found in your home. There is a mayor of the city of Hudsonville who has authority, but it's limited. It's just within the boundaries of the city of Hudsonville. You've got a governor who has authority, but that's limited authority as well. It's just the boundary of the state of Michigan. And you've got a president who has authority, but that's limited as well by the boundaries of this nation. But Christ's authority is not limited by boundaries. It's a limited that is over all. And that's emphasized here in the text in two ways. All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. And so it's all things. And all things means simply that, all things. When you start thinking about that, it's unfathomable. I'm going to mention some things about that scope of his rule and his authority, but in the end, there's no way for me to mention everything. The idea is we have to learn to think this way and see this way, that the authority of Jesus Christ is overarching. It's over all things. This is part of the position that God has given to him, authority over all. And how amazing is that all? Things in heaven, the text says. That's part of it. All that live there and all that is done there. This includes all the angels that are in heaven. Jesus Christ gives them orders and they obey. The souls in heaven, they're under Christ's authority there in heaven. Gladly they're under his authority, but they're under his authority. Not only that, but this points out as well to us the evil spirit world, the demons and Satan himself. That's evident from Revelation 12, which tells us that Satan and the fallen angels were evicted from heaven when our Lord Jesus Christ descended. They could no longer be there. They were kicked out. That tells us that Jesus Christ has rule over them. Remember during Jesus' ministry, Satan tempted Jesus to bow down to him. And he said, I'll give you all the nations of the world. Now we see that Jesus Christ was given authority over all the nations of the world and authority over Satan himself. That's part of his authority. Satan is under the authority of Christ. Understand what that means. What that means is not that Satan isn't trying to attack Christ. He is. He's trying to destroy Christ. He's trying to destroy Christ's kingdom. He's trying to destroy Christ's church. Satan wants to destroy you. But the reality is he cannot. Because he's under the authoritative rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan is restricted in what he can do. That doesn't mean Satan's not trying and that he's not working. It doesn't mean that he's like a puppet in the hands of Jesus. No, that's not the idea. He's still responsible for what he does, and yet he's deceived so that he thinks he can accomplish something. But the reality is all that he is doing is accomplishing the purpose of Jesus Christ. Book of Revelation tells us that Satan is chained. He's chained right now. There will come a day when he's loosed and he will be able to unite the nations of the world against Christ and his church. But until then, he's bound. He's chained. And then even then when he's loosed, he's under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan is doing the bidding of our Savior. So that's seeing his authority in heaven. There's also his authority on earth. He possesses authority over all illnesses and diseases. Of course, the big thing right now is coronavirus. And we were just talking about it the other day, talking about how there are those who were able to trace it. And that's a big thing right now, right? Tracing someone sick. Where did it come from? Who have they come into contact with? And there was some tracing that was done. I don't know if it's accurate or not, but if it is accurate, how amazing to think about it. Starting in one part of the country, taken back to another part of the country by one person. And then from that one person, a couple others get sick. And then from those couple others, there's a whole bunch of other people who get sick. And then it comes closer to home. There are those that I know who have gotten sick because of that. We see in that the authority of Jesus Christ. He says, whether it's Wuhan and to the United States or Great Britain or wherever else it has gone or where it hasn't gone, it goes there because of the rule of Jesus Christ. It affects some people and not other people. Some have symptoms, others don't have symptoms. They may have the same virus. It's all controlled and ruled by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just true of coronavirus. It's true of the flu, the cold, cancer, whatever else it may be. Just take, for example, when someone has cancer, we say, well, is there a history of that in the family? But then why is it there's history of it in the family, someone doesn't get cancer, there's no history of it in the family, and someone does? No, we remember in all of this, Christ rules. Cancer is under the authority of Jesus Christ. And then when it comes to the things that we lose and the effects of all of these things upon us, I was reminded of that today, kids. I think for some of you, today was maybe the last day of school. And maybe you're ready for it to be finished. But one of my daughters had her teacher made a video of kind of the past year. And I couldn't help watching it to get a bit choked up. And to be sad. Because students aren't seeing their teacher every day. They miss their classmates. We see in that the rule, the authority of Jesus Christ. And other things we miss out on. Graduations, maybe class trips, worship services, vacations, work, weddings, a funeral when someone dies, and so many other things. But we see the rule of Jesus Christ. We still are sad about those things and we miss them. We see and know his authority. He possesses authority over all those in authority. When we see kings, presidents, governors, legislators, judges of this earth, let's always remember they're under the rule and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will have to answer for what they do, and they will one day. And they may not obey what Jesus Christ calls them to do, But we remember that they're under that governing rule of Jesus Christ. He's the authority over all people in the world, what they do, the circumstances of their lives, the circumstances of your lives as well. And that raises the question, well, what about leaders and other people? And they disobey the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they're disobeying and they're not living under that rule, the orders of the King of the world. And yet we see and understand that they are under His authority and rule, and everyone and everything is being used to accomplish His purpose. And what a comfort that is. What a comfort that is to know that. That Christ is in control. And lastly, just in this sphere, the sphere of the church, Scripture emphasizes the authority of Jesus Christ in the church. He's ruling in the church. And we need to remember that times when things are difficult, we can't worship together, or there's not peace in the church, and there's struggle in the church, and there's strife in the church, and contention in the church. And we don't forget this. In all of these things, we have a calling and responsibility. Yet, Christ rules. He is the authority of the church. And He is accomplishing His purpose. Now, I say He's accomplishing His purpose. That's the other part of His authority that we must see. What's the goal and purpose of this authority? Well, that's where we see it in its context. It's the Great Commission. The Lord Jesus Christ gave the Great Commission to the church. He says to the church, "Church, this is your work. Preach the gospel, make disciples, baptize, spread the word through the nations of the world, teach and instruct in the church. Teach your children, the generations to come, what it is to live as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them who He is. Teach them how to follow Him. And in the world, teach people as well who Jesus Christ is. And teach them how to follow Him." But this we need to see and understand in all of this. That Jesus Christ, in His authority, and His powerful authority, is ruling over all things for the salvation of the church. You say, why did Jesus speak these words first, the text first, before the Great Commission? Well, it's to point out that He is the authority here. The church doesn't save people. I don't save people. You don't save people. You don't save your children. Jesus Christ does. He will send the gospel where He will, and He will save His church. When it comes to the response to that word and believing in Christ and repenting of sin, the one who accomplishes that is Christ. He is the authority of the hearts of men. He gives new life. He changes hearts. He brings men and women to their knees in repentance and to His cross. And there are others who reject the word. And in so doing, they reject the authority of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ in that, in His authority and power, is accomplishing this purpose in the world as well. But then we need to put all of that together. Our looking at the authority of Jesus Christ over all things is not separate from the Great Commission, the gospel going forth in the salvation of the church. It all comes together here. So everything happens in this world under the authority of Jesus Christ. Coronavirus, cancer, war between nations, whatever else it may be, it's all under the authority of Jesus Christ that is serving the purpose of the spread of the gospel and the salvation of the church. Now, what we say when we say that tonight, we want to see and understand the significance of that. This tells us right now, tonight, when we want to feel sorry for ourselves, we want to think about how things affect us, that we have to remember, don't look at self. Let's not forget the bigger picture. what's the purpose of Jesus Christ? And it's a real purpose. It's not something just for church. This is for everyday life. He's working all things for the salvation of His church in the day of His return. That's what Jesus is saying here when He talks about His authority that is given unto Him in heaven and upon earth. All things in heaven, all things on earth serve this purpose of the salvation of the church. Pestilence, flooding, the economy, riches, poverty, cancer, drought, whatever else it might be, all of it is working for the spread of the gospel. Persecution is working for that. The nations not getting along, the nations coming together, all of that working for the spread of the gospel and the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. God be praised for that rule of our Savior. How then do we respond? So here's the authority, the powerful authority of Christ. He governs all things. He orders all things. He makes decisions. He has the right to enforce obedience. How do we respond to all of this? Well, as believers, this is how we respond. First of all, we trust in Him. One of the dangers for us right now is that we do focus on all the things that we've lost. We fall into self-pity. And if that continues, what happens is we really fall into the sin of bitterness. Bitter. And we would like to say it's not against God, but in the end, if there's bitterness that sets into our hearts, it's going to turn towards God because He's the God who's sovereign and Jesus Christ rules. I don't want us to misunderstand this. There is sorrow for some of us right now. It's easy to feel like we've been robbed. We've been cheated of what we've expected, what we think that we deserve. And we don't get the things that we want. That's difficult. Especially when those things are good things. And they're part of our lives and in school or church or in friendships and families and so on. So I'm telling you tonight, it's not wrong to be sad about missing some of those things. Kids, if you're sad about missing school, it's not wrong to be sad about that. I'm not talking about the work, but maybe your teachers and your classmates and all of that. It's not wrong to be sad about that. But it becomes wrong when it overpowers all other things and that's all we can think about and it gets in the way of our obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. In contrast to that, let's not respond to His rule in that way by being angry, by being bitter, by only focusing on what we can't have and don't have. But instead, we trust in the Lord, whose authority is right and good. We trust in Him, knowing that we have nothing to fear, knowing that His authority is absolute. And this is what is unchanging for us in a world that's constantly changing. Jesus Christ is on His throne. If there's anything important for us to remember on this Ascension Day, it's that. He's on His throne, and what Jesus says here is true today, and it's true tomorrow, just as true as it was last week. He possesses all authority. So we trust in Him. Secondly, we obey Him. When we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and that He possesses this authority, that means as a believer in Him, He's the authority of my life. And I'm called to obey. That's part of this. He's my authority. What does He say in His Word? What does He say about how I live? He says, love Him, love God, love the neighbor. We're to do that, no matter what the circumstances are. We're to obey Him. Where are we not obeying the Lord Jesus Christ right now? Where are we bucking His authority? Where have we set up our own authority in the place of the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ? He calls us to repent. He calls us to believe in Him. And He calls us then as well to obey Him. Because He is our Lord. So this is also how we respond to this authority. We obey Him. And finally, we praise Him. The disciples, when they saw Him, we read in verse 17, they worshipped Him. Now, there was some doubt, so they weren't trusting like they should. The word of Jesus Christ came, have to believe, we have to believe their faith was strengthened. But also they worshiped, they bowed down. And that's what we do today too. We worship and we bow down, we praise Him. Because what a great King He is. He's worthy of praise and adoration. Songs are being sung to Him in heavenly glory because He is the great King. Those songs were sung when He entered into heavenly glory, Revelation 12. And so also we here on this earth ought to praise Him in our lives. Christ is our King. What does that mean? He has the power of authority over all and over us. May we trust Him. May we obey Him. May we praise Him. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for Thy word tonight. And we're reminded of the amazing rule of our Lord Jesus Christ. It truly is unfathomable. Help us, and we pray this, Father, knowing our need for this, help us to see daily the rule, the authority of Christ, and grant us grace to submit, to trust that Thy way is good and right, to obey Him in our lives, and to praise Him each and every day. Father in heaven, we pray for the strength to do this. Go with us in the rest of this week, whatever we do, in work and in play, that we may honor the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our King and our Lord. Amen.